So this afternoon, I want to a little bit address, go deeper into the way emotions kind of subtly run the show and run our inner world and drive us in ways that we don't always know and we don't always recognize. So I really want to use this talk to explore emotional life a bit, and then look at it with new eyes, perhaps. And then after that, we're going to have some opportunity for question and answer, a little bit of questions to Leela myself, which can be to do with the talk, but doesn't have to be. Can be what's coming up for you. So this has been a time of really strong emotions for, I think, all of us, which have been changing over the last 5-6 weeks. I remember when I first heard of October the 7th, when I first heard the news, I felt like a kind of a weight on me, just like as if I'd swallowed a huge stone, moaka, like so heavy. And I couldn't talk to anybody for 2 days. I couldn't do any, I couldn't relate, I couldn't teach, I couldn't let people trying to contact me, and I had nothing to say. But it felt like a big stone inside, like a and I'm sure most of us have felt very strong emotions of fear, of anger, of zam, of rage, of sadness. But then they get lighter. But something happens to emotions. They work under the surface. And they can create kind of movements in us which we don't quite recognize as being emotional. For example, konunut, this sense of there's always something to take care of, to be careful of, to be just something behind the scenes that steals our life, our joy, but we're not sure what it is. Or uncertainty, confusion, even dilemmas, even ethical dilemmas, for example. If they stay with us, they can undo the ground. We begin to feel uncertain. And it's not a problem to have questions and uncertainty. Not to be clear is great. We don't need to know, and we don't need to be clear about everything. But it can go under the surface and somehow shake us in ways that we don't always notice. And so we do need to be careful and be aware of the way emotions can kind of steal subtly our hope, our steadiness, our power, and our joy. Many people said, I can't meditate in these times. I can't settle down. My answer is, who says you have to settle down? Why do you have to, you think you have to have 20 breaths one after another right now? Agitation, if that's the name of the game, it needs to be opened, it needs to be allowed, it needs to be seen, it needs to be embraced, isheket. So, we have to look at the colors, if you like, that are under our consciousness. What kind of these colors, this subtle, you know, you can almost say watercolors, tsevamai, which are very subtle, under that change our consciousness, and that's emotional life does that. We may feel, by the way, subtly, um, rejected, even lonely. And I felt it. I felt there was places where I'm not allowed to mention peace because it's against the consensus. And I felt a bit lonely, faced with a very strong Anachnu voice, which I met everywhere. Anachnu, Anachnu. And so there was a sort of subtle sense of I'm outside there somewhere. I'm just expressing it as feelings that are very legitimate, that are very real, that are very understandable, but are there nevertheless. So we need to look at our emotional life without blame or without judgment. The emotional life is what comes in from the world. And it comes in by the nature of things. And we really shouldn't judge ourselves for emotions that we feel. But we need to open the box. And so I want to explore, firstly, how to see the richness and the beauty of our emotional life, but at the same time, how to contain it and be, in a way, bigger than it, and really watch and see the way it can run our life from behind, be the engine that drives our life in ways we don't notice, and in also how emotions can be a doorway to liberation. And they certainly can. So, firstly, how we build emotions. Emotions are a natural response. Tguva tivi, because we're human beings and every animal has it too. My dog runs in circles crazy every time there is a boom from Lebanon, which is like 100 times a day. and my dog doesn't quite know where it comes from, but I could see the emotion in my dog that is trying to deal with it, but doesn't know how. It's natural response. It's nature. It's okay, be with it, be as nature, allow it. And it touches something ready-made in us, mukhan, channel, because they're maslul, mukhan. Presses our buttons. And very, very fast, it creates views, thoughts, builds, who I am, like I mentioned the emotion I mentioned before, feeling a bit lonely, faced with the ha'anachnu. The feeling is a feeling of exclusion, but the story comes straight away. Us and them and anachnu and me from the side and all this, straight away. The stories we build straight away out of emotions, and they're very fast. But the stories we build are the problem. The emotions are not the problem. The emotions are, actually Christopher's word, organic. Emotions are organic. Responses to the world because we're sensitive and open. The stories we build out of them are something else. And the stories that we build out of emotion happen very, very quickly. And they're the ones that take our energy, not the emotion. The way we build a picture of the world, the way we feel about ourselves, we can be feeling the victim, a kurban, or the confused one, or is it konunut 24 shaot? It's not the emotion; it's the hashlachot, it's the product of emotion. And these, it's really helpful if we know the difference. We feel the emotion in real time as it arises, as it flows. And then we see we are constructing out of there immediately story, and then it stays. It's the story that stays because we build a self out of the emotion. We build I am, a bit like a view of us and them and what's needed. And we need to kind of unpack that chain and really, you know, lefarek the chain from the emotion to the next thing that happens and the way we construct out of it story, and we construct out of it ourselves, and we construct out of it a view of us or a view of others or of them. And then that stays, and then we give it tzedaka, we give it support and so on. So the emotion itself, we need to give space. We need to allow the emotion itself and see and be connected with the emotion in real time. It always comes in the present. And it's always flowing and changing. And it always is a big river, not a small one. If you consider fear or insecurity, if we really can just feel the insecurity is opening us to worlds of me and the world and the relationship between me and the world as it is, as in the present moment, changing all the time. We need to allow the emotion, give it space, be interested in it. How is it flowing and changing? It's energy, seeing its energy. Emotion is part of prana, chi. Feel the energy of the emotion flowing through us. Feel what the heart is, the vibration of the heart. Stay with it, like sit on the bank of the river, watching the water flowing. Changing, it's like that. We see it's changing all the time. We see it comes and goes. We see it's dynamic and free, and we see it doesn't really belong to us. It comes from the world. You know the story, the Zen story, which is very famous, about a guy that says, I'm very angry, he says to his teacher, can you help me deal with my anger? And the teacher says, okay, bring the anger, and we'll deal with it. I'll help you deal with it. So the student says, yeah, but right now I don't have anger. So the teacher said, well, go to your room, and when you have anger next time, bring it, and we'll deal with it. And the student said, yes, but it would take 10 minutes for me to come from my room to your room. And during this time, the anger is certainly go. So the teacher said, you see, even if you want anger, you can't have it. Anger comes and goes when it wants. Anger is from the universe. You're not in control of it. So that's the way to deal with it. Knowing it's not yours in the first place, it comes and goes because of your relationship with the universe. Any of you that have been listening to my talks in the last while will have heard me quote Etty Hillesum, so I'm going to say it again. So I'm sure you have heard it already, but it's just so beautiful. And it's so much right for now. And she's talking about the sorrow and the sadness she feels in Amsterdam in the Second World War when the Germans are out in the street outside and she's a Jewish woman, young woman in her house. And she says that she's coping. Does that mean I'm not sad? That I just give in? And then I just love life if I feel all right? No, I believe that I know and share the many sorrows and sad circumstances that a human being can experience. But I do not cling to them. I do not prolong such moments of agony. They pass through, they pass through me like life itself, as a broad eternal stream. They become part of that stream, and life continues. Give your pain all the space and shelter in yourself that it requires. For if everyone bears his grief honestly and courageously, the sorrow that now fills the world will be less. But if you don't clear a decent shelter for your sorrow and reserve most of the space inside for hatred and thoughts of revenge, from which new sorrows will be born, then sorrow will never stop in this world and will increase. But if you have given sorrow the space its gentle origins require, then you may truly say, life is beautiful and so rich. And she adds, it makes you want to know God. So if we get close to our feelings, we can, it opens layers and we give space to our feelings as they are. They open, they show us life, they show us God, they show us the big being that we are. They show us love, because in a way all feelings are based on love. Fear, it would seem very difficult to, how can fear be based on love? It can, because we are in survival mode, but because we love life, we love our life, we want to protect our life. We are loving the world, so when the world invades or threatens us, we feel betrayed in a way, we feel contracted, but that's because we are with the world in the first place. So from a very classic Dharma point of view, we need to look at the emotions as empty and transparent. Because really, if we really try and kind of catch an emotion, it's not solid. It's not made of concrete. It's something, it's an aliveness. It's empty, actually. And if we kind of look at an emotion and instead of building out of it a story, we look at it with intimacy and explore it and open it and see it's empty and flowing, there is a moment of liberation in that, because we have consciously deconstructed the pattern of building me out of an emotion, building story, building. And we'll feel more space, and we'll feel more freedom, and we'll feel more lightness, and we'll feel more well-being and connected to ourselves if we connect with emotion and see its flowing, open, spacious nature. It will leave us bigger, not smaller. And I have to say that there is an aspect of karma in this, because karma works through us. So life creating an experience. So we may have experienced being threatened, being at risk, being in danger, or being identified with others who are at risk. We may be feeling a lot of the effects of karma in these times. But if we don't build constructions around emotion, basically karma stops. We'll experience the emotion, but we will not keep it going. And what she said, Etty, that if we give space to our sorrow, there'll be less of it in the world, because we don't use the sorrow for story of revenge, for example, nikama, or reactivity. It actually stops there. It just becomes the space of emotional feeling and it's done. Emotion is, as Krishnamurti said, let it flower and then let it die away. And another place, even subtle emotions, if we notice them as being less personal, less me, and a bit more universal, that's where emotions become liberating power for us. This is in the teaching of Tantra, where emotions are an energy, like anger is an energy, can be a huge energy. And if we see this energy as being pure energy coming through us and not belonging to us, but it's in the world, it gives a big, big power, big freedom. There's also the Zen story of a Zen student that was knocking on the door of his teacher. Like every morning, he comes to get teachings. And the teacher didn't answer the door. So he was surprised. Every morning he comes and knocks on the door, and the teacher opens the door. So he knocked again. No answer. So he knocked again. He began to get a bit impatient. No answer. He knocked again. And then his teacher opened the door and slammed it in his face. And at that moment, a big anger. And then the teacher opened the door and said, "Now look at where you are." And boom, he was awakened. Now look at yourself. And the awakening comes from the power of an emotion, which is a power of chi and prana and consciousness. It's energizing the system. It's waking up the brain. It's like a kind of wave of power. And if we don't lock it in into our person, but we allow it to, in a way, open us to the world, then it's a liberating power. It connects us to the world rather than locks us in ourselves. And that's where emotions become liberating. I was really enjoyed listening to some teachers that I like and have a lot of respect for. Ram Dass, who died, but listening to him sometimes, when people come to see him and give stories, and in his film of his some films of his life, his response was often, you could feel his heart. Oh, he would go like this. Oh, oh. It was really nice. It was like not responding from the mind at all, but just, oh, like his whole heart was energized by this story. And I had a close contact with Ram Dass. He came to stay with me in Kleel. Yeah, many years ago. David Zeller brought him. And he was like that. He was like a kind of his big, ooh, big, the big tummy. But he even said about his tummy, he said, "My tummy is the mother of the world." And he was like, like this. And the other person that I've had close contact with, another teacher, Jack, who, when he was in Israel, was just touched by so many things. He was walking through Meir Shearim with a peace walk of people who were Holocaust survivors. And he was just a few going on this walk, and he was just, his heart was so open and heartful. So our heart language, if we don't get it locked into a personal projection, ashlacha ishi, kufsa of ani, v'sipur, v'beniya, v'ezber, v'tkuva, v'machshavot, v'ayefut, v'shchika, v'inyanim, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. But we just allow it to kind of spread us into the world, because an emotion is our relationship to the world. That's why there is emotion. Like I said about my dog that goes around, doesn't know what to do, but is responding to the sound. Without selfing, all emotion basically becomes love, whatever it is. It might seem, how can fear become love? How can anger become love? But fear and anger are emotions that are inside protection of me. Survival. Without that, every emotion becomes love, basically. And love is endless. And it doesn't have an address. Cut off it. It's everywhere. So in this period of time, it's also important to allow emotion to be a source of action for us. And because emotion connects us to the world, it can be a really powerful source of action. And we all know that we already, what helps us is to help others. Many of us are doing this. We're going out to help others. It doesn't matter what. Whether it's people, whether it's people that have left their homes, the refugees in Israel. The heart, if it's open, will tell us what we need to do. The heart is much wiser than the mind. The emotion, together with our life experience, will say, you're being called. Listen to the call. And we just go. We all know this. I think all of us are doing this in our different ways. It doesn't say what we need to do. For one person, Boaz, it was making falafels for soldiers in Rosh Pina. For another person, it's whatever it's needed. For me, it's been doing a lot of Zoom connections to people all over the world and in Israel, and feeding the animals all around in Clio of families that have gone away and left their animals. It's what the heart says, and there you go, there you find yourself there. But it really gives energy, the emotions in their pure form give a lot of energy, because they collect us. That's the biological function of emotion, is to collect our energy. That's what they do. That's the point of an emotion. It collects all of us together. And we bring kusala, we bring wholesomeness, we bring well-being into the world through really connecting with our emotional life. But just be aware. Be very clear where an emotion, when it feeds into the story, into the self, into the patterns of thinking, then an energy of reaction, anger, becomes a kind of drain on us. We become drained. We lose energy. It becomes reaction. It becomes low level. We can't sleep at night. We get ill. We get from an anger that's not really seen and not allowed and driven into reactions, into thoughts, into views, and into being a person. And we're just restless. You can see the way it works underneath. And we have to just be aware of that. And be careful, be aware of what the emotions do to us. And really know it. Not to say, I shouldn't be. Asur li liot ve'isheket. No, it's not that. But we need to see the way, what its sources are. And let go of that movement. That where the emotion is kind of feeding a self and a story. But we can feel also how the emotion bringing the heart and the mind together is the source of the greatest things we can do in life. The creativity, the enlightenment, the biggest things we can do. We write books because our heart and our mind are flowing together. And you can feel that energy that comes from when the heart and the mind are flowing together. They are in one place. They each power each other. And they bring spiritual power. And they're not noisy. An emotion that is seen and fed into the life energy will be fed as compassion, will be fed as caring, will be fed as love, and it's quiet. It's not fighting anything else, so it's quiet. It's like a flow, like a deep ocean, like a current in the water, and it will just flow and bring us power and strength and wisdom. The Bodhisattva, nice image, bodhi, consciousness, and sattva is purity. Purity, balance. Because there's zikuk, the zikuk of the consciousness. And it's, the bodhisattva is characterized by compassion and awareness, the two together. And one key of the bodhisattva is he or she is never tired. Bodhisattva never says, oh, well, tomorrow. I'll save the world tomorrow. Or, emi koach. Lo bali. The bodhisattva is a real beautiful image from the Mahayana of a purified heart-mind working together to help in action, to help the world. Thank you.